Savior.
Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, how often I have admonished the people by certain words, saying how people sing a lie unto you. They sing something, it isn't real. They sing something, they don't believe it. And they sing those things that are even contrary to Scripture. And we would pray, Lord, that it would not be thus with the people here, who give way, as others have given away, to say, he's always been here, or he's here, so what? But you realize that you are here as that judge that Brother Branham proclaimed, that you have come, that you have brought your own word to set the church in order with the correct headship of God himself, even as Adam, where the man is head of the woman, and the head of man is Christ, but the head of Christ is God. To see these things, Lord, and not just talk about them, but it may be real to the very depths of our soul until it radiates forth through human vessels, Lord. We would desire that, and most urgently that this would be our portion, Lord, and all things that we might be true to you and not at all hypocritical, but be standing here, Lord, as part of the word and the showing the fact that we are that part of the word by ever saying what the prophet said and never preaching what the prophet said just for a message, but preaching what the prophet said, knowing that is the big thing, the big difference. And we pray that that might be the ministry in this church and the people a part of it. There might be that uniqueness, Lord. This is all we ask for because this is what we were admonished to have. And so we ask, Lord, for what we were admonished to have. We ask you to give it to us. And we're seeking it, Lord, and we believe we're finding it. We believe we're knocking and the door is opening. These things, Lord, we believe in our portion, and we are receiving it. And by your grace, Lord, the life will come forth, the life, even as Paul said, if you live in the Spirit, see that you walk in the Spirit. So help us this morning to get right into reality, as we've been trying to do. And may the reality, Lord, overcome everything that is in us until it not is just part and parcel, but it is the entity, it is life, and that which is with life, the Zoe part. So we commend ourselves to you this morning for your care. And now that we've asked, Lord, according to John, if we ask anything according to your will, you hear us. And this is your will, that we might have fellowship with you and our fellowship with the Father and one with each other and the blood cleansing. And he said, if we know that you hear us, and Lord, if you hear our hearts even louder than our words, and we're very sincere this morning, then we know that you hear us. And then, Lord, he said, and we did not say it, but he said, when then you hear us, we get the petition we desire, which petition is the richness of Christ the Word in human vessels, Lord, and not according to what we want, because we can mess up on that even. We want your ultimate, your aims for us this morning. So whatever it is that will come forth, we trust and we've got to trust. It is going to be that for which we are calling, and we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now we're on leadership number 29. And as we study this message in the light of the Alpha and Omega principle, as well as determining the spiritual condition of the church as revealed in woman's state of dress or undress, and consider where we are in history by watching Israel, we must also never forget that Brother Branham is not only giving an exact description of God himself present and dealing with the rich young ruler through the prophet Jesus, but even now God himself is present again and dealing with us in and through and by a prophet, William Branham, in order to restore true leadership unto eternal life. And not only so, but because we are into the Exodus to the millennium, he is now dealing with Moses and Israel as a perfect alpha example of this hour. And in spite of the abundance of vindication in this hour, it is the same as it was with Jesus when the Jews refused him, all the while claiming Moses. So now all the churches claim Paul, even the Roman Catholic Church. Paul, 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 John, John, Paul, Paul. In this hour, and speak of him, that's Paul, incessantly, but have no desire or thoughts concerning William Branham, the human form Elijah of this hour, who is to restore the gospel according to Paul. Now, we taught you that last night and showed you that they referred to Moses. Moses, we have Moses, we have Moses. They're still saying, we have Moses, we have Moses, we have Moses. And their association with Moses is 100% negative. They can't even have the washing of pots and pans and the spilling of the heifer's blood. They are completely destitute. And yet they will talk about Moses and Messiah. Moses, Moses. Talk about Messiah. You could get clobbered. The Jews want to come to America and take Jesus Christ out of the schools, out of the churches everywhere and under every condition, proclaiming that religion is free over there in Israel. Try and go over there with a message like this and see what really happens. They're still going back to Moses, having bypassed Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of the word of Almighty God, because as Brother Branham said, Jesus Christ came according to the Scripture, but not according to their understanding of the Scripture. And so we have today that the world is to be judged by the gospel of Paul. Paul wrote the epistles. Everybody in the Gentiles claims the Apostle Paul. But they don't have any claims on William Branham. They don't even want to listen to him. They don't want anything to do with the fulfillment of Scripture, because that fulfillment is always contrary to what their beliefs are. They can accept a certain manifestation, but they cannot accept a revelation. Now, as in the case of Moses, Jesus, and Paul, the people received according to their own reasoning. Now, don't tell me they didn't receive. They did receive. Jesus was not ignored. Moses was not ignored. Paul was not ignored. And William Branham was not ignored. Believe me, he was anything but ignored. But organization have put the, according to the Scripture and his own testimony, put what you call the quietus upon him. And he was suppressed. But his ministry was not done in the corner. So these people received from these great men, of whom Brother Branham was one, according to their own reasoning, the manifestation of the vindicating ministries of Moses, Jesus, and Paul, but could in no wise accept those men as the manifestation of the word that declared and prophesied of them. They couldn't do it. So today, about 0.001%, 0.001%, have any depth of the revelation that God is giving. and therefore either ignore it or fight it, and eventually blaspheme God and His holy word. Now, this is what you're looking at under leadership. I am not reading between the lines by any stretch of the imagination and putting in something which I believe the prophet should have put in. I am merely bringing to your attention by hours and hours of studying and preaching what lies here as the last message of his entire ministry. And the last message goes down like a lead balloon, where the women laugh him to scorn. And their jerk husbands sit there and applaud. Men? Men, my foot. They may call themselves men, but they're not in the image of any man of God. The Bible declares them brute beast, made to be taken and destroyed. Brother Branham called them atomic bomb fodder. So let's start with Moses again, where Brother Branham is speaking of a man who assumed the leadership that was given to him of God, having been predestinated to it, where this businessman was given a choice, and he took the wrong road. So Brother Branham says, we're going to talk about another one. Moses, by faith, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Paragraph 245. He refused to say, I'm Methodist, I'm Lutheran, I'm Baptist, I'm Pentecostal. He refused to say, I'm oneness, I'm Trinitarian. He refused every single thing but what God declared to him by vindication. He went back thoroughly satisfied in the perfection of his faith. And in doing it, he refused. The rich young man could have refused, but he didn't. The full gospel businessmen, and consequently Pentecostals, because of the influence of those men. And remember, their influence was money. Because the hour of the day is money. And the love of money is the root of all evil. And go to you, rich men, weep and howl because your miseries have come upon you. Because you got your money by defrauding the laborer, embezzling the widow, turning away from the orphan, refusing to assume your obligations and responsibility and throw it upon a governmental society. Where one judge alone had the nerve to rebuke the people coming to court over divorce. And he said, why hasn't your church settled this? What have I got to do with it? This is a spiritual religious problem. But the preachers sold out for money, and so they sold out to the full gospel businessmen and their lies and their hypocrisy. For the love of money. And preachers refused to go back and come against the profaning of the Word of God because their salaries and their pensions were involved. And the question is, who's running most of the pensions? Who's running the stocks and the bonds? Who's controlling the paper? What's going to happen to their paper? Brother Branham brought all these things out. He knew there was a danger that these preachers who would not give up their pensions would be forced into the mark of the beast. And they had to give up not that only, but everything, selling their souls to hell. As the Bible said, fear not him that can kill the body, but fear him that can destroy both body and soul in hell. And they had no more fear of God than nothing. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh. He refused to be called a Lutheran, a Baptist, a Methodist, a Campbellite, a Church of Christ, Church of God, Assembly of God. And most of the independents are even more wicked than they are, because they usually left the organization because they got into some stinking mess with them and their morals were called to attention. So they start their own little profligate group where anything goes. Notice he refused. Well, when a man refuses, he just usually doesn't stand there refusing. He's got to make a choice. So he chose. Now, what did he choose? He chose to suffer the afflictions that would come upon him by his refusal to be a part of the old crowd. When he refused the old crowd, he actually made a declaration. He made a declaration concerning his election. When he chose, he made a declaration concerning his predestination. Because his predestination would be entering into the sufferings of Christ, which were greater than all the treasures of Egypt. Because Egypt fell. And Egypt will never be restored, neither will Babylon, in spite of all the stupid talk. When Hussein rose up, and they said, why, Babylon, the great city in Iraq, is going to get built again. Hogwash. Such utter inanity and stupidity. People called themselves Christians, listening to their own stupidity rather than the vindicated prophet. He told us exactly what the truth was, relying upon John the Revelator, who was just a scribe, who talked about Babylon, Rome sitting on the seven mountains, the seven hills. And notice, he refused. He chose. And he didn't only choose, but he accepted. There are many people who choose the Branham message, but they don't accept it. They choose it to tinker with it. And even preaching it out of conscience or for conscience sake, it's usually to find some goody that Brother Branham expressed which was truly unique and not found in normal books of theology, so they could sound very good in the pulpit. This is why you find I preach word by word, so everything brought out is thoroughly based on William Branham and has nothing to do with Lee Bale's smart intellectual abilities and his great education, which is not there. You may not believe this, but I could do right today my preaching. Except I could not tell you about algebra and geometry and some of the other things. I could have quit school in grade 8. Because in grade 6, my compositions were taken up to grade 10 and read. For my ability lies in English and analysis. I don't have a smart brain and a great education. But I'm smart enough and spiritual enough to know. Take every word that Brother Branham says and look at it. and preach what the prophet said. Not trying to preach my own thinking and bring in some doctrine. Had I tried that, I would never have found the truth as it is in Christ Jesus and revealed at this last moment. All right, he refused, he chose, he accepted. Is this your guidepost this morning? He said it's greater than all the treasures. And Egypt was the greatest at that time. And Brother Branham says, see, he accepted eternal life. The fact of the matter is he accepted Elohim. I don't find a record of Moses accepting eternal life. I find a record of Moses accepting Elohim. And whatever was an Elohim was his, as God allowed it. So therefore, choosing the giver is a billion times greater than choosing the gifts. Yet the hot rodders are hot rodding around the country selling the Branhamites gifts instead of the giver. Let me just tell you something and get this straight. If the church, the bride, ever really gets the giver, and she gets herself under the dominion of her husband, he will give her gifts that she couldn't dream of. And it won't be an inspired speaking and an unvindicated, thus saith the Lord. And the flusies running up and down the aisles and on the platform usurping the place of men. And the men standing back because they're too lazy and stupid to stand up and be counted. Now, I'm not a woman hater, but get this flat. Don't try it around me. It's been tried by a certain lady sat there. She never came back and she never will. Because she can't repent. She's always right. She never accepted the prophet's message. She chose to follow. But when I hit her with what Brother Branham said, she said, I don't care what William Branham said. That's what she told me. You hear what I'm saying this morning? Do you really? How much did that woman reject? How much did she refuse? Really nothing. A new patch on an old garment. What did she accept? Nothing. I can hear from God. Would anybody like to stand up and say, I can hear from God? So I have the pleasure of calling you a liar and ask the ushers to get you out of here. See, I'm getting nice and mean again, ain't I? Yeah, and I mean it. I'm not mean, I'm just telling you the truth. No man seen him or heard his voice. He that has seen me has seen the Father. And the only manifestation of that is what the Bible says the Father does. And then you better be real careful what you do with it, or you will receive gifts instead of the giver. What a travesty to turn down everything that you could have had out there as a pure animal sinner. To come into the church at this late hour and accept the gifts and stand before the white throne and talk about what you received, your gifts. Did I not cast out devils? I've cast out devils. I've stood there and seen the sick healed. I had a pretty good ministry, even discerning when I shouldn't have. And except for this message, I'd have been told by him, depart. I never, ever knew you. Oh, but my gifts. So what? Judas had gifts. Janus and Jambres had gifts. Balaam had a gift. The little boy that tells on himself from the Carolinas has gifts, so called. And the Branhamites are falling for it. Of course, they love to sing, oh, come and go with me to my Father's house, to my... They may get there and get thrown out. It's a great step to the last great Father's house, not this intermediate one, is the white throne. So you see, he chose. In there was afflictions. But he accepted Elohim and what Elohim would give him and do with him. This young man that refused couldn't take it. He'd have loved to have Elohim. In fact, he claimed him. He made great claims upon God. But when God made a claim upon him, he turned it down. You can read the Bible the same as I can read the Bible. What claims has God made upon you, and what are you turning down? Are you even getting dressed? Or is it too easy not even to come to church? You're getting in this pulpit what not too many get in a lot of places. I've had a man come to me. He said, I sat under a man for 15 years, and it's the first time I really understand vindication. Without vindication, where are you coming from? And more important, where are you going? I can't afford to have a rubber tie post on a rubber chain. I can't afford to build a house of cards on shifting sand. I've got to have something entirely out of my hands, out of my thinking, out of my feeling. And I've got to be happy about it. Now that's the stinger. That's the stinger. When Paul enumerated all the sufferings, he said, nothing will separate me from God. Rejoice, and again I say rejoice. And Jesus said, when all these things come to pass, look up, rejoice, your redemption draweth nigh. We've already passed the perpendicular. the upward corner from the horizontal to the vertical, we've already changed, and I don't know which vertical you are on. And speaking for myself, I hope by the grace of God, I am on the vertical of the upward pull. And by the grace of God, I hope for you. But as I watch even some in this congregation, I never know where you're coming from or where you're going. Everything else is more important. I don't mean to be rough on anybody, it's just the truth. And I don't claim that I'm above it. I claim what Brother Branham claimed, that there's a great inertia. And his one worry was the bride would wander in the desert for 40 years or more, or the little things of this life would get to us. When a certain man was here, I cautioned him, and I said, "Sir, watch money, because this church takes in a lot of money, and I wasn't taking it." I said, "Watch money, or it'll destroy you and your ministry and pull the church down." He said, "Oh, Brother Bale, that perhaps the man's ministry is destroyed, and perhaps he's destroyed, but the church is not going down. You don't even know what you're talking about. You know that house over there plagues me. I can't even get to the word. You know, except for a gift that I utilize and know how to utilize, my life is just a shambles. Now, if I suddenly go, you'll split different ways, won't you? Don't tell me you won't. I know the Bible history. You're complacent. I'm 80 years of age. I've got lots of strength when I preach here. Because the entrance of the word giveth light, and the speaking thereof giveth great strength. Because no word of God is void of power. Israel wasn't dedicated for two bits. 0.001% believe this message. $5.5 billion divided by the numbers. You begin to see things. You had people here who would take their own little thinking and run with directions until one man would say, "I believe at one time that Satan was the bride of Christ." Merciful God. The bride is many-membered. What has Satan ever had to do with it? If you can believe tripe like that, then you have no idea whatsoever of foreknowledge, of sonship, of election, predestination, or anything else. Well, up to you which way you go and I go. We have a choice. The choice costs you something. It costs us our thinking. It costs us our desire to be somebody. You think I didn't have the chance to be somebody when Brother Branham died? If you don't believe that, you are sitting here entirely insane. I'm the one man whose name's on the tapes. The one man mentioned concerning doctrine. And thoroughly identified by a vindicated prophet, yet I've made myself nothing. Because I am nothing. But if I have the giver, I have everything. and nothing shall be missing if I have made my choice. Having refused, and I've refused it, you can have Pentecost, you can have Baptist, you can have anything you want, forget it. I don't even want to hear the name of God and the name of religion. I don't want to hear anything spiritual from that bunch out there. Because they're angels of light. And the light is from hell. And is based upon teachings of which the life has gone out. It's carrying dead meat. Therefore, the ptomaine poisoning. They're regurgitating and they love the vomit. I'm not interested. If I can't have this, I don't want anything. You can do what you want. Can I stand up and be boiled in oil? I don't know. What does God want? I don't know. But I warned you time and time again, listening to me, if I'm preaching this word of God correctly in the prophet, you can die in your tracks sitting there. Because your minds will numb. Well, you get a spirit of some kind of pride on you. Well, I believe I'm different. Well, believers are different. But not the way some people have it. It's entirely erroneous. You got to come to the place where you don't have a thing coming. And when the word of God hits you like it hit Abraham, you don't even have any feelings. And so you'll be a human being. You'll turn to Hagar after all. You could have a son by Hagar. And you'll breed a bastard, a thorn in your sides, that'll eat in your flesh. Like the Ishmaelites are doing now. And Sarah didn't have any feelings. She even laughed to think she might have feelings. She said, ha, ha, ha. Shall I and my Lord have those impulses again? Ha, ha, ha. And God said, why are you laughing? We're not talking about feelings. We're talking about the Word of God. That's why Brother Branham even makes strong statements concerning faith. Forget your faith. Remember the word. That's why he liked T.L. Osborne. He accepted it. Live, die, sink, swim. Swim or drown. Kind of makes you laugh, doesn't it? Here I am, merciful God, and I'm 80 years old and you're younger, but that doesn't make anything. You're just as stupid, and you'll get stupider like as time goes on. Here I am. I met with God. Whew, man. And this is it? Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, man. He said the church has seen his last sign. The little Carolinian, he's going to dress a bride with his own signs and the crud passed on from his grandmother. A woman preacher. You better be careful who your mother is, because if it's not New Jerusalem, you are not what you think you are. he accepted Elohim. As Brother Branham said, God was there to point that young man to himself. I never saw one thing in Brother Branham's ministry that looked like a sideshow. He declaimed against it constantly, yet the angels of the Lord appeared from the presence of God and said, you've made it a sideshow. I never saw a man so reverent. He was almost like a ham actor. But don't get confused with my words now. A ham actor is a guy that deliberately puts on an act. Brother Branham was deliberate, but it wasn't an act. But to people like you and me, we begin to think, well, this guy is putting on. And the full gospel businessmen were putting on. It was all an act. They didn't even have gifts, but they ran around pushing people over. A fellow named Gardner pushed over a little woman I knew. And I laughed after she got up, and I said, with a twinkle in my eye, and my usually, very sincere way, I said, tell me, did you fall down by the power of God, or did he push you over? And she, having the same spirit on her that I had on me, oh, very sincerely, with a twinkle in her eye, said, let's put it this way, Brother Vail, it was much easier to go down than to resist. So that's what we saw amongst them. They gave way to their emotions and their so-called gifts while a prophet stood there with, thus saith the Lord. Who could say, who's looking at me is looking at God. You can take that, you're getting somewhere. Moses accepted Elohim, eternal life himself, in order to be positioned with Elohim according to Elohim himself, and what part of the life of Elohim that Elohim had reposed in Moses. Did you hear what I said? Huh? You heard it, but you ain't talking. Which is all right. I prefer you quiet anyway. It says here in the Bible, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by the Spirit is given to one person a gift of tongues which you may use one time and never use again. A gift of prophecy or discern or knowledge, a word of knowledge, or faith or healing or miracles. And the Bible said God has placed each one of these members which are a part of him to make this membership of God's body on earth as it pleased him. So therefore, whatever part of the wisdom and omniscience, or rather omnipotence, and love of God is in that measure we will be in that body. And how can the businessmen rise up and say they're taking the place of a fivefold ministry? How can people dare to answer a call that has not been given? How can they dare to refuse a call that has been given? Brother Branham talks about that. He accepted Elohim, eternal life. Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ greater treasures than the treasures the world had. The full gospel businessmen, Pentecostals, offered them a Trinitarian heathen Godhead. Offered them gifts and called the gifts the giver. Moses esteemed that the greatest. Esteemed what the greatest? God. God, who through Christ Jesus will finally open up all the treasures after the interruption caused by Eve, where the flow will never cease. And the reality will never diminish. You see why Brother Branham said the great revelation under the seals is there's one God? Because that's the great treasure. The great treasure is to know the true and the living God. And Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. In the meantime, the Heavenly Father and the Heavenly Son, of which one is God the Father and the other is simply the Son of God, and don't mistake it, have a rapport. And in that rapport, you will find that God will pour out these treasures incessantly through Jesus Christ to the rest of his children. Now you notice that Moses counted the cost. There is no way that you can possibly say that he esteemed the treasures of Christ, which are total abnegation of everything Egypt and Babylon and the world and the world church system has to offer. Total abnegation. Well, you say, Brother Vail, isn't there one good thing left? Well, my brother, my sister, if you like eating a rotten egg, or where the egg is beginning to chickify, be my guest, I'm not interested. There's not one good thing. There's not one good thing. Now, when Luther came on the scene with justification, and if you read his books, you'll find they're brilliant and right to the letter. But where are the Luthers today? They no more believe Luther than nothing. And what about the Methodists? They don't believe in drinking unless they hide it. Then it's legal. I know what I'm talking about, so you can laugh if you want. The old girl in our town is Methodist, and she headed up the... she was the first MLA in Canada. And she was a great prohibitionist. When she had trouble with the pneumonia or something, they began looking for the booze she had in her cabinet. Maybe she read a little scripture that says a little booze doeth the stomach good. He didn't say that about the lungs, though, did he? You can soon make up your own Bible in a hurry if you want to. Moses esteemed that the greatest. In other words, he took out his calculator. And he totted it all down. And the figures that were in the positive, in the material, in the prestigious, were very high indeed. In fact, they were the highest in the world. And at that time, to become Pharaoh, he would have gained the whole world. Lost his own soul. He said, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Moses was a rich young ruler who was to become a Pharaoh. He was Pharaoh's son and was heir to the throne. So is Jesus. And he looked out to the impossible. A bunch of mud daubers, a bunch of slaves. And by faith he saw the promise of God through the word. And what was the word? That his people, Moses' people, God's people, same difference, would sojourn in a strange land for 400 years, but would be brought out by a mighty hand, which of course they were. And he esteemed that. He esteemed the word of God which promise had just broken by vindication above everything. Now, you can see why Brother Branham preached vindication, why I preach vindication. Because without vindication, you are a complete idiot. A complete idiot. And Paul says so. To turn down what you could have here now and have fun doing it. And miss the fun of doing it here because that's all you got. Because you ain't got nothing there. He said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Now hold it. Right now, there are about 1 billion Catholics. And close to 1 billion Protestants. And 0.001% have the hope of Christ for the next life, and the rest of them only have it here now. And they are of all men most miserable. You say, Brother Vail, I know you're not putting us on and you're trying to tell us that they think they're so happy and they're so full of love and they've got it all and they've got Jesus and it's wonderful, wonderful. It's like Lawrence Welk, the champagne bubbles are flowing. It's wonderful, wonderful. Why, we got a Lawrence Welk salvation. And you can't tell them different. Like a little lady. She was a preacher, and I said, Sister, you're wrong. You're sweet, you're nice, but you're wrong. Women can't handle words. She said, I just soon doubt my salvation. This is my call. And I knew she didn't have any salvation. She didn't. She never. Look, I'm giving it the word test as Brother Branham came in and saw the short-haired women. And he said, the Holy Ghost is gone. You're finished. Woman tells me she's called to preach, and you tell me I can't follow the prophet? I was told that by a guy who used to preach in this area. He didn't like the fact that I named names. Of course, I don't think that's polite, but I never said I was polite anyway. Like a girl I knew years ago, she said, pardon me, pardon my manners, I don't have any. Now, there's a dear old friend of mine, know the Roosevelts, she said, the Roosevelts aren't unmoral, they don't have any morals. So this woman said, well, I'm called. And I said, there's no way. I can come right behind with this word of God the same as the prophet did, or why do you think he gave me the word? The church having been judged, am I to stand back now and say the church isn't judged? When Brother Branham called Malachi 4 the white throne, and I'm supposed to say, well, you know, that's a figure of speech and he didn't mean it. Well, he didn't mean it, and it's no figure of speech. Because there's neither root nor branch. And when the wheat is all carried away and the chaff is destroyed, there is no more generation anywhere. Neither root nor branch. The bride has come out of her root of the dry ground and she's branching. She's looking more like the tree of life every day, whether you and I know it or not. Oh, yes. These people, they saw the word of God. Brother Abraham saw God in a form. He heard the promise given that was given to his forebear Abraham. And he esteemed that as the great riches. And he forsook Egypt, period. It's gone. It's not easy sometimes. I'm very, very childish. I didn't say childlike. I used the right word, childish, foolish. Very ignorant. Very fearful, very doubtful. But I knew the time had come after seeing Brother Branham that I had to choose. There was no way out. I had to refuse everything I was into. I had to choose what God had chosen for me. I had to accept it. It took me about a year to accept it, but I did. I accepted it on God's terms and my terms, which were this. God, I can't fail. I can't turn back ever again. And I got to stand with your word and prove it. I never knew that the day would come that simply standing with gifts and the power of God was not it. This is it. This is it. What I had stood me instead. But the gifts, as it were, are on the shelf, and the age of gifts is over, because this is the age of the giver and his children. Now, gifts are still extant under the proper conditions. So, he esteemed that what looked greatly inferior, problematical, in some cases literally hypothetical, more of a guesstimate than an estimate. He turned down the bird in the hand. He forsook Egypt. He was led by Christ. And Brother Branham said he forsook, using the term twice, so that you might understand there is no such thing as accepting Christ unless there's a forsaking. There's no such thing as accepting this message if you hang on to the fact that you can say, well, I don't care, Brother Branham said. I choose to believe and let everybody else know that I believe him. I really don't. It took a woman to say it, although I'm sure a lot of men have said it before the woman. Okay? Now let's go further. Moses took his place in the body of Christ. All right. This Moses, who now took his place in the body of Christ, and I'm reading this on my own, because this is what it's about. He had once had his foot on the throne, and he could have been the next Pharaoh in Egypt. Brother Branham is telling us plainly that he could have been the man that followed Luther. Wesley Luther, William Branham. But he said, this will never organize. He doesn't care two bits about his name. He said his name would go down as a cult, and it did, and it is. He could have been the next Pharaoh in Egypt, but he esteemed the reproach of Christ. Now remember, Christ is the Word. Paul actually went the way of the crucifixion. I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He said he esteemed the reproach of Christ. The reproach. Just the same as he said he forsook Egypt. To be led by Christ, he forsook. Can we esteem the reproach of Christ? To be called the odd one. To be called a fanatic. In other words, to be cast out by the Word. Because the Word will cast you out. To take his place with the mud daubers, the fanatics. Because he'd seen that hour that the Scripture was promised to be fulfilled was there. Do you know that Brother Branham saw that? Ephesians, the first chapter. The very prayer of Paul, Brother Branham saw, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. Omniscience. The wisdom of God revealed in a new and living capacity revelation, as it once was the revelation of the cross. This is not now the revelation of the cross. This is not now the revelation of the baptism with the Holy Ghost. This is now the revelation of God himself coming to the church and fulfilling Isaiah 42. This is the wisdom of God. As Hebrews 6 says, leaving the Logos of Christ, leaving the flesh. It's on the throne. Who comes down? God comes down. Elohim comes down. And notice, this is the wisdom at this point. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, are you listening? Now you're thinking. And by now you can put two and two together. Let me read it again. Let me test your thinking and your understanding that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, so forget Jesus Christ, put him out of the picture. This is God himself, even the Father of glory. Glory means an assessment, a placing, in consideration of others. So Moses gave God true glory when he assessed Egypt and everything they had as garbage. He saw through everything because he saw God. That the God, never mind the God, let's say that God, Elohim, the Father of glory. In other words, the progenitor, the only one that can actually put into proper perspective concerning himself and everything else. That he himself may give unto you the Spirit, an actual anointing. That he himself would give you a revelation of whom? Well, tell me. Thank you, that's exactly right. So what's the great revelation under the seventh seal? God, there's one God. He tells you right here. You don't need to guess what Brother Branham said. There's no guesswork to it. It's all laid out here. Spoken thousands of years ago. Coming to pass. And the manifestation of vindication always intrigues people. But the minute you begin to tell what the manifestation is all about, which has got to go back to the Word, which is revelation. They say, hold it, I can't take that. I'm a Methodist. I spoke in tongues. I don't care what you did. You nauseate me. Merciful God, I might eat a fried worm, but don't ask me to eat a chicken in the shell. Or lap up some dog's vomit. The ministry's full of dumb dogs that can't bark, but they sure can puke. And the people just love it. How's your appetite? The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Where God has actually placed himself in relationship to us. Let's ask a question. When he was on earth in the form of Jesus, the only begotten Son, was it not said by God himself, he that is greatest of all is servant to all? Did Brother Branham not say when his two children sinned in the Garden of Eden, he never sent an angel or an archangel or a cherubim, but he himself came down, so today? Is it not true when you read the scripture, you hear, I do believe, more about the hand of God than the head of God? Huh? And is it not true that God, though head, has a hand and an arm outstretched? Is it not true that Brother Branham said vindication was to woo the bride? To get her attention? That he might hold her there in the waters of separation until she was dressed?
until she was so enthralled by revelation or vindication that leads to revelation that she said, it's all gone, I've got no more thoughts, it's finished. So that one day we could say as the prophets, I don't have any thoughts of my own anymore. And as Brother Branham told Hickerson just before Brother Branham died, he said, Hick, you're down here and I'm up here. But when I'm gone, you'll be up there. Further progression in sanctification. Mud daubers. Holy rollers. Fanatics. They hear one thing Brother Branham said and turn around and accuse him. A woman wrote an article, and she accused Brother Branham of literally standing with abortion. Because Brother Branham had said before the baby's born, it's just jerking muscles and nerves until the spirit comes in. But she didn't know that Brother Branham had talked to a Mormon whose child was almost carried to full maturity and yet was dead. And Brother Branham said, you'll see that child in heaven. The woman forgot about the soul. There's your women for you again. Woman typing the church all mouth. And their love isn't worth a plug nickel because it's not based on the word. It's just sensual and rotten as a man. That's why I can't preach about love. I can't even stand the subject. And you know why? Because it's all either eros or philia. And though there's such a thing as agape love, it could be for your piano, or your horse, or your golf, or your billiards. Like the guy back in the Baptist church, he could never stay for Sunday school and for church. He ran out after Sunday school because he always had to go and bowl. And one day during the Sunday school class, just before it was time to leave and go bowling, he fell over dead. Be sure your sins will find you out. And he's the man that asked me, how come I can't get healed? A better question would be, how can I be living so long in the shape that I'm in? But he was a good Baptist. Eh? The odd one. God himself has come down. Why, we got people sitting here, certain relative preachers, and said, well, he's always been here. That's always been here? Well, Brother Branham said Luther looked for it. He said Wesley looked for it. And it wasn't always here. I want to know what part of Brother Branham's message that man hears. We never did get along. And we never will under the present conditions. For what fellowship has he who believes all the word with him who only believes a part of it? You think for one minute if I didn't really believe that Brother Branham meant what he said when Eve should have had this royal seed which was Christ? If I hadn't believed that William Branham was that vindicated man of God, and listen, I really don't believe half as strong as I should believe. My capacity is very limited. You might think, oh, Lee, you got a great capacity. Thank you, I fooled you very well. But I'm not a liar. Because he knows my heart anyway. My wife always did rebuke me for naming my sins. I said, shut up, they're going to be shouted from the housetop. I'm going to beat them to the punch. I'm not half as solid as I should be. I admit it. But I'm going to tell you one thing. That is true, that I do believe somehow, to whatever capacity I've got, according to the proportion of my faith, I believe Brother Branham was vindicated and everything he said was correct. That's why I knew I could go to the scripture and find how William Branham was right. And by applying the Alpha and Omega principles, I have proved him 100% right from Scripture. You say, oh, Brother Vail, I don't think you proved to me. I didn't say I was going to prove it to you. But I'll meet you there. Because if every idle word is going to be judged, then so is every good word going to be judged. I will have a record of exactly true and exactly not true. I'll have a record of the shades in between. So we have no fear there. Now, Brother Branham says, oh, church, wake up. I'm not going to lead you anywhere. All I'm trying to do is point you to him who is here, and God himself will lead you into the millennium. Church, wake up. Can't you see the same thing tonight, which is the personal presence of God? God himself leading the people. God himself interpreting and fulfilling his own word. God himself doing it as he promised to do in human flesh, which they don't believe. That's in the Bible. But Brother Branham explains it. You see, that's what I said. Keep in mind all the time. Vindication makes people's eyes pop. But the minute you begin to draw the scripture out and say, this vindication is for this which I am now revealing. They die. Now, years ago, they didn't have a prophet. So it wasn't that conclusive and that devastating. But at the age of the prophet, you have the proliferation of gifts. So now they turn from the gifts, from the giver to the gifts, and they say, now bless God, this is genuine because it happened in the name of Jesus, and here it is in the book of Mark, and therefore we know God is doing it, and therefore because I was there in God's stead, and I was doing the praying, therefore I am of God. Hogwash. Have I not chosen you 12 and one of you is the devil? And Judas raised the dead. And I believe Judas was one of the most vociferous of all the people touting Jesus as that one which was to come. Until the little bug entered in and he got carried away. Can't you see the same thing tonight? The hour that's been promised is on us. What hour has been promised? I read it. Isaiah 1:17. Isaiah 42. Luke chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians. Well, 1 Thessalonians 4:16. 2 Thessalonians 7 1 to 1st chapter 1 to 7 to 10. And the complete manifestation of the two sons. The Son of Man, the Son of Perdition. twin spirits, loosed at the same time. The hour's on us. Paul one day said, don't look at this as though the hour's at hand, that it's here. Brother Branham says it's here. He's here. He's descended with a message. Headship is here. The baptism of the Holy Ghost gave way to the fullness of the Holy Ghost. The justification gave way to sanctification. Sanctification, the baptism gives way to the fullness, which is God Himself. It's not hard to understand. Now he says, esteem the reproach of Jesus Christ greater riches than all the fellowship of anything. If it's father and mother, church, anything else. Follow the leadership of the Spirit. Follow it, no matter what it's going to cost you. Let's go and take a look at it. John 10. Now, we read this many, many times because Brother Branham used it many, many times. And in John 10, beginning at verse 30, I and my Father are one. Brother Branham said, you're looking at me, aren't you? What was it? God in the man. Was Jesus Christ God? Absolutely, emphatically, 100%, 1,000,000%. No, he was not God, per se. God was in Christ. Exactly. Messiah was within a Messiah body. I and my Father are one. You're looking at me, aren't you? Same difference. Not William Branham says all these things have come to pass so perfectly. It's not William Branham that heals them, raised the dead. You're looking at John 14. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And the Pentecostal big mouth said, William Branham's a prophet when he discerns, but his doctrine is nuts. Don't listen to him. Wisdom is justified of her children. Then whose children are they? Tell me. If the spirit of wisdom is here, God himself revealing, and they say opposite to the prophet of God, who cannot be judged, whose children are they? Why does the chaff get burned? They took up stones to stone him. Jesus answered, the many good works have I showed you. I've trotted out my vindication. Every bit of it. What part of the vindication did you stone me for? Oh, they said, we don't stone you for the vindication. It's what you say about the vindication. Because you're blaspheming God. Now they're taking the place of the vindicated prophet. And notice the nerve of them. Notice the whore in them. For the whore plies her trade. And it's no more nothing to her than she ate a piece of bread and wiped her mouth, ready for the next customer. You got a whore church today, too. Talk about being the bride of Christ and children of God. Sold out to the devil. Why, you're blaspheming. Because you're a man making yourself God. What did William Branham make himself? You know why your thinking goes numb? Because you're not remembering Jesus was a prophet. Everything you're remembering, and I have my problems too, is we look back and we say, well, Jesus was God. He wasn't God. He was the Son of God. And therefore, he had this great ministry just laid in his lap. And he went about, and he did this, he did this, he did this. And he thought of this, and he thought of this, and he thought of this. And he thought of this and this, and he did this and he did this by what he thought and he did and he do and he. Bunk! He had visions. He was a prophet. He laid aside his heavenly glory of being equal with God. He dropped every single thing of the value that accrued to him being the firstborn, which was to share everything equally with his father. He laid it down. And he became 100% submissive to God, even to where he died. So much for Jesus. Flippity-flip-like-a-butterfly. I think I'll go here and I think I'll fly. I'll do this and I'll do it too. What a wonderful time we'll have with you. Boopity-boopity-doo. Do you realize that's your thinking? And mine? Do you realize we're just a bunch of flippant idiots? We don't give time for the Word. We don't give time for God. Well, too bad, time's gone. I'm not going to go any further. I'll put right down here, we cover two paragraphs. That's very good. We might finish this the middle of next year. This is the fourth. Well, that's it. Now, isn't it nice to see how the Scripture comes together and how clear everything gets? You can see this message a thousand ways in the Bible. And you can see every bit of it's there. But you know something? I think 99 and 9900% of what's this side of the resurrection is done gone. And you don't need to worry about it. Because you're past the perpendicular. When the Bible says caught up, it means just exactly that. The corner was turned. It was an upward corner, a corner of catching up. And if you can't believe that, I would say there's a great danger of being in the wrong perpendicular. Well, the Lord bless you. Trust He has. We can never sit here and hear the Word without being blessed. Piling word upon word, you know, fills you more and more full of the Holy Ghost. If I have preached the Word of God to you correctly, and I believe I have, you know, you're more full of the Holy Ghost than you were when you came in. That should make you want to come back and get more full still. That doesn't seem to work that way with most people. A lot of people, they're too busy fussing about a lot of other things. It won't matter pretty soon how your car runs or how it doesn't run. Or what turns on and what doesn't turn off or doesn't turn on. Because you'll soon be sitting under a fig tree and a vine tree. And you'll be working. And sweating. I hope. I like to sweat. Does you good. Whatever it is we do. And there'll be a temple worship, by the way, too. Oh, there's a great day coming. And the thing is, it's not coming any longer. It's broken. It's broken. Let's rise and be dismayed. Heavenly Father, again we approach your great throne of grace. And we believe you've answered our prayer by opening the Word to us and making us more sober and more sincere, making us come right down to the reality. And if there's some way, Lord, that you can increase our capacity through that, the operation of the proportion of faith, whereby we teach, and also whereby we apprehend, and whereby we also rejoice, and wherein and whereby we come more and more in thy likeness. Help us to realize, Lord, that that's true. That we are going on. In this last hour and a half, we've grown in grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This last hour and a half, we've grown in the knowledge of Him who is here. We're in the great revelation of seven seals as the revealer Himself. Who even reveals to the Son and sends messages by His Spirit to us here this morning. How wonderful, Lord. This is truly a heavenly place. And we are in heavenly places in Christ Jesus this morning. Spiritual food in due season. And we love You, Lord. And we know the more that Your word circumcises our hearts until our hearts are thoroughly circumcised. Thoroughly applying the filter. Thoroughly the revealed word of the hour. Penetrating down within the genes of the soul, fattening the soul. Enlarging the heart. More and more and more. The circumcision. And we love You more and more with the love, Lord, that we know is there. And it's not the erotic or the filial. And it's not our highest loves that have gone into philosophy and even certain parts of Scripture that we make philosophical or guides. But it is love toward You. You Yourself, the Rhema Logos, because we've learned to accept it and are learning to accept it. Seeing it, Lord, as it is in truth. And by Your grace, it becoming us and we becoming it. So then will we have apprehended and seen fulfilled in that day, you know, I'm in the Father and You and me and I and You. This very hour, the prophet said it would be fulfilled. So we can say with the prophet again, although we feel more and more inclined and prone to include ourselves as never before, if we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere, and by the grace of God, we'll not stand in the way. And with joy, Lord, and gratitude we say, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God who has manifested Himself, revealed Himself, wooed us, and given us a picture of His presence. To Him be glory and honor through Jesus Christ. From a bride. Until it's all one truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.